Hello, everyone. Welcome to a new episode of the Good Faith Idea Exchange. For today's episode, this is part two with Alora Maxwell. Her debut novel, The Shore Forever, is going to be coming out pretty soon, July 26th. Last week, we got into a little bit about her novel. You know, we talked a bit about publishing, but in part two, we're getting much more heavy into publishing, traditional publishing versus self-publishing, and, you know, some common misconceptions about both. We also are going to be getting into a bit more about her novel and more about her inspiration and what drove her to write this and what drives her in general. So sit back and enjoy. Going into publishing, you know, the publishing of a book itself, in your opinion, what are a couple of pros and cons of the traditional publishing industry?
Yeah. Well, I'm in the depths of it still, so I can speak from present experience. You know, going into figuring out how you're going to publish a book is so overwhelming. You have infinite number of paths you can take. You can self-publish, you can traditional publish, you can go halfway with it, you can hire people to do your marketing, you can just hire somebody to do your editing. I mean, there's just a million combinations. So when I was researching how I wanted to approach this and looked at traditional publishing, I mean, I saw the pros mostly are going to be that networking ability that they have. They already have the built-in media that you can talk to. They have the built-in editor that you can work with. They have a list of things that you need to do, checklist, and dates that you need to do. But on the other side of that, you are working on their timeline, which is something that I did not want to do because I wanted this out in the world like ASAP, just because I was so excited about it and I'm not patient with it. So that was the biggest con for me. The other bigger con was just, this has been a goal of mine for so long that I want it to be 110% me, no matter what that is. Yes, I had an editor that worked with me, but she made sure that she didn't compromise my voice in the book. And I was kind of afraid that that would happen with a traditional publisher, especially for a debut novel. You know, they're not going to 110% trust you yet because it is your first work out in the world. And so in the future, I definitely want to look into traditional publishing. But for now, I felt like it was something I wanted to accomplish on my own and that I could accomplish on my own. And I just wanted this book to be 100% me.
Gotcha. Yeah. So, you know, obviously you made that choice to self-publish this book. I guess in your own words, would you say that there are any stigmas attached to self-publishing?
Yeah. I think the biggest one, sadly, is that self-published books aren't as good as traditionally published books or any other route you take. And that's so sad to me. But I think there are terrible self-published books. There are terrible traditionally published books. There are good published books. There are good traditionally published books. Like, it just depends on how much passion you have as a writer and how much you're willing to put into the process of editing and workshopping and designing and all of those things. I think I don't think you can fairly judge outside looking in, because if you open a book that doesn't have, you know, the trademark of a publisher on it, but like you don't know that going in, you're not going to just completely judge it off the bat as, you know, not worthy. You're going to wait until you read the whole book before you decide whether or not it's good or not. So I think that is a huge stigma that I've read in the Facebook groups. Facebook groups can be toxic when it comes to publishing. And that was something I had to kind of train myself to not completely take to heart, because I was like, oh man, maybe it won't be as good. Maybe it won't be good enough if I self-publish it. But that's just simply not true. It can be true, but when you put enough work into it, when you've ran it by your editor a few times, you've let other people read it, that you're not your family, not your friends, but strangers read it and they say that they believe in it, like, that is the only sign that you need that it is good enough. So you don't have to go that route. And I think that was when I gave it to my editor and she told me, wow, this is really well researched and the emotional beats hit, that was the moment I knew that I was good to go with the self-publishing. That was the only belief that I needed. So surrounding yourself with those right people, I know I'm kind of rambling a little bit, but it's such a huge process. You can't really like box it up because it's so many steps and it takes so much time to discern which path to take.
Right. Right. Yeah. No, absolutely. You know, and with self-publishing, I mean, you know, it certainly does, have that stigma, unfortunately.
Yeah.
And, you know,
also that you're lazy, which is so sad because they simply think that you're lazy because you haven't shopped it. You haven't tried to get it to literary agents to try to sell this. But in reality, self-publishers might work harder than traditionally published authors because you're the one hiring. You're the one vetting everyone that you're hiring. You're the one putting the money into it. I'm not saying you don't do this as a traditional published author either, but you're 100% in charge of the project, which means you're taking more time, more money usually to do all of this. So I think that's the other one that kind of sucks is that you're lazy. And that's not true either. Speaking from experience, it's a lot of work, no matter what way you take.
Yeah, exactly. And then, so do you have any advice for a first-time author, you know, trying to figure out which route they want to take to try and publish their work?
I have two little things of advice. The first is don't take everything that you read on the Facebook groups, on the internet to heart immediately. Let it sit for a little bit. Make sure that you're doing your own research. Don't just do something because one person tells you that it's the right way to do things. Every author is different. Every single book is different too. So you just kind of have to sit with yourself and be honest with yourself too. Am I going to be able to put enough time and effort and money into this to be self-published, or do I need to let it sit, let it go through the rounds of literary agents and let them kind of do that work for me? You know, it just really depends on that. I think the second thing is patience. Patience when you're making that decision and patience in every single step of the way. Make sure you read your manuscript one more time, because every single time you think it's enough times, no, read it one more time. Every time your editor asks if you have any questions, don't just say, no, I'm good. Think about it. Let it sit. Ask those questions because they're there to help you. You hired this person to help you. When your designer sends you a proof, your first proof, don't just say, yeah, it looks good. Great. No, go through it page by page. Sit with it. Relax. That's something I'm really not good with. I mean, that was one of the reasons why I chose to go this route, because I wanted it out sooner rather than later. But you will be so much more happy in the end if you sit with it a little bit longer than you planned and really just take your time with it and learn it front to back. Those would be my two little things of advice: patience and doing your own research.
Yeah. And then too, and this is just kind of, you know, from my thinking here, but yeah, I think the fact that you went out of your way to, you know, have many, you know, to have so many other people whom you did not know, who you were not familiar with, read your book, go over your book, you know, and in some cases review your book. Yeah. You know, I think that is, you know, that's definitely something that, you know, some people don't necessarily do. And I think, I think that's really important because, sometimes people will, if they're trying to put, you know, put their work out there in the world, sometimes people, I think, get a little too caught up in their work and, you know, you know, basically being so kind of loving of their work and so, you know, caught up in like, hey, this is my baby. And it's almost like they don't want to take the chance of someone else looking at their work and giving it their honest opinion, or even suggesting that maybe they need to make a change here or a change there, and, you know, that kind of thing. And I think that's where, you know, that's something that kind of gets a lot of people caught up.
It can be really, really scary. I know, like I said, like this is something that I've kind of held close to me for so many years and really didn't even share with anybody that I like to do this. So then to all of a sudden push it out there to people was really, really scary. But I'm so much happier now that I've done that. My editor, I cannot even speak enough amazing words about my editor. She specializes with debut historical fiction authors, actually. So I was really comfortable with her off the bat. And she was just right away telling me her ideas, telling me things that I could work on. She was more of a writing coach than anything, which was amazing. And I feel like I learned so much from her. But I think to people who don't necessarily want anybody to see it before it's done, finished, that can kind of aid to the fact that a lot of people think self-published work isn't as good, because I think it does need to go through those processes. Even if you're an amazing, amazing writer, you're still going to flub up on some grammar. You're still going to miss a connection here or there. And that's why it is so important that if you're going to go the self-publishing route, that you do hire those people that are going to help you. Even if you have a slimmer budget, like, you can still find someone that is going to help make your work better. And it is going to be so helpful in the long run. You'll be so happy that you did it at the end of the day.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And, well, stepping away from that for a second, I know, well, at least that my understanding is travel is pretty important in your life as well.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah. Okay. And so why is that? And, you know, and how would you say travel helps not just with writing, but, you know, anyone out there listening, how would you say travel might help them?
I grew up in a household that really appreciated traveling, and not just that, but history too. Whenever we'd go on trips, me and my dad made an effort to go out of our way to go see something of historical significance. So whether we were in, I think we were in South Dakota for a soccer tournament, like we drove 20 minutes to go see like a museum about a submarine that was at Pearl Harbor. Or me and my fiance, we were in Colorado 2 weekends ago, and we were driving through the mountains to go see Glenwood Caverns, which is like a theme park on top of a mountain, because we're adrenaline junkies. But we were driving through some of those old gold mining boom towns, and we like got to stop. You know, I want to come back and see all this someday. And as a writer, well, we were driving through one of those gold rush towns, and I literally like had an idea for a book I want to write. And I pulled out my notes tab and I wrote up a whole plot about this town and the characters I envisioned there. So as a writer, history is everywhere. Everywhere I go, I try to go see something that's historically significant. I mean, we're in DC, that's a perfect example. You know, there's history everywhere there. And so, you know, just finding those little pieces helps me as a writer. I find inspiration in that. But even if you're not a writer, if you're an artist, if you're somebody who's creative, you're going to find that inspiration. And even if you're not somebody who's creative, you're going to find inspiration for like your soul. And I know that's really deep, but wherever you go, like, at least for me, I feel so much more in tune with my life, with the lives around me. And that's how it helps me as a writer. And I think that anyone could really experience that if you just take a moment to relax and just think of everything that's been here before, everyone that's been here before you, you know, especially, I mean, anywhere you go, there's history everywhere. And I know I tie it back to history, but that's just how my brain works. But traveling is just another open door to learn more and experience more, just like historical fiction is.
Okay. Okay. All right. Gotcha. Gotcha. Yeah. I mean, I think travel is very important.
So important.
Oh yeah. It's, it can be educational, therapeutic in so many ways.
Absolutely.
You know, where you go and what you do can and will change your life.
Yeah, it will. So I have my next book that is already finished, but hasn't been edited or anything. We took a family trip to Texas and we went and saw all the Texas Revolution stuff. And I literally had like a whole outline of a story by the end of that trip. So like, I just get so inspired when I travel, and I just wish I could travel all the time. Obviously that is not financially responsible, but we try to do weekend trips whenever we can. I mean, we went to Salt Lake for a day and a half, and we went to DC for a few days, and we went to Colorado, and I don't know. I love it. I love to explore. I love the adventure of it too. And that's kind of my way of living in a novel, I think. Everyone likes to romanticize their life. For me, it's not, you know, the parties I go to or, you know, all of my huge group of friends. It's the traveling for me. And that's how I romanticize my life and, you know, bring kind of that romanticism to my novels, but not in a way that would, you know, compromise the historical accuracy or anything like that. But if you kind of understand what I'm saying, that's my way of adventuring, I think.
Yeah, I get what you're saying.
Yeah.
And sounds like a very healthy way of doing that, having that adventure.
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah. So, Laura, going back to the book again, you know, if you could just let us know one more time, when is it coming out and where will it be available? Also, are there any, you know, are there any other special initiatives underway on your end that, you know, you want to mention?
Sure. Well, The Shore of Forever is my debut historical fiction novel. It releases July 26th, next month. It'll be available in ebook, which is available for pre-order right now. And then it'll also be available in paperback, all via Amazon. If you guys want to follow me for more, I'm on TikTok and Instagram right now at author_Alora Maxwell. I do lots of fun stuff on there. Not only do I share kind of my journey in publishing and help people through that if they have questions on that, I also review books, recommend books, make fun, you know, posts, interesting creative posts on books and everything. So if you like books, if you like historical fiction or anything like that, I'm creating a cute little community over there where we just vibe and talk about books and all that good stuff. So yeah, that's me.
Nice. All right. That sounds good. Sounds very good. All right. Well, Laura, that's pretty much all that I had for you. I want to thank you so much for taking your time, and just sitting down with me today. I know it wasn't, you know, the easiest, endeavor for us to get together here, but
I'm
very glad we were able to do it.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much for this wonderful opportunity. It was a joy talking to you about my story, my books, and all of that. And I hope that you and your listeners just get a little something out of it, no matter what it is.
All right. So this concludes part two of my two-parter with Laura Maxwell. I hope you guys got something out of it. She definitely had some really great advice for first-time writers, aspiring authors, as well as her debut novel itself. You know, the Shore Forever, I think, is going to be a great book. I think it's going to be a great read. I myself am definitely going to pick up a copy. You guys may want to yourselves. Anyway, that's pretty much it for today. I hope everyone enjoyed the episode. Again, feel free to subscribe, whether you're listening on Apple Podcasts or Google or Spotify or whatever it might be, and feel free to give it a rating, whatever you think it might, whatever you think the podcast deserves. Aside from that, that's pretty much it. So have a great day, everyone.